It is so good to see each of you guys today. Spring break happening. We typically have people on the road, so it's going to be probably a little light, but I'm glad that you're here. Good to have the Havens with us this morning. Bobby is here along with Treva. I got to hear some of Bobby's music ministry. He's got a Havens Half Acres on YouTube, and I listened to that the other day driving to Odessa, and it blessed my heart. Tune in if you have a moment and look him up. You'll be blessed from it. But I'm glad that you're here this morning, and I want to thank you guys for the text and the calls. Lauren had her baby. Whitney Mae Havens was born, 7 pounds, 5 ounces, and 20 inches long. And I'm already her favorite, I could tell. But yeah, she's doing well. It was a rough delivery. They stopped just shy of having to do a C-section, but that was kind of rough. But mom's doing well. She's recuperating at home now, and baby's doing good as well. If you have your Bible this morning, turn over to 1 John chapter 5. And before I start reading from 1 John chapter 5, I was going to thank Stacy, and he's not even in here. He must have had to do something, but I wanted to thank Stacy for always passing these out, these handouts that is coming from our basics courses. Stacy's been handing out those handouts, and also each time people come in, he'll jump up and give them to him. That's a lot of jumping. So I appreciate him for doing that, and I'll tell him when he comes back in as well. But we've been doing these courses, these little lessons, if you will, on the basics of our faith. And as I've told you each week, I have a lot more. If I did everything that's left, I'd probably take another 3 or 4 months, and I'm not sure if I'll do that. But when I get into these, they are a blessing to my heart because I have forgot more than I remember. And some of this are things that draw you into the Word of God and help you think about what He's trying to tell you. And so this one on prayer was no different. Now, our fourth lesson was called Daily Walk, and that was kind of like this, but this is much more in-depth about prayer. Now, as I tell you, these have been a blessing to me. Sometimes those blessings are disguised as a conviction. Because we could go through this handout, and by the way, we will not get to all these verses. When Valerie saw the handout this morning, she said, there's a lot of verses, and there are a lot of verses, and well, there's no way we can complete this entire handout in one lesson. But you take it home. We won't extend it to next week. So I thought about this, and I thought, well, I could push it and read 90 miles a minute and get through the whole thing, but I don't want to do that. There's some things here that I would like to visit with you about, but they stem from convictions in my life. You could take each of these points, and I could tell you how I could do better there. Go to the next point. Well, I could do better there. I could do better there. So just take it home, and if you would like to finish it, you can. It's not very hard to do when you look up the verses at all. But prayer is such an important part of the believer's life, and we forget that sometimes. We get so busy, and you know, all of us, we have our phones, and it's so easy to get distracted. My pitfall is news. I tend to get off in the news area, and then of course some of you are on social media, and you could easily blow 30 minutes just like that on something that will do you no good spiritually, physically, for your health, for your mental estate, or nothing. Or you could commit to a prayer time, one that will enliven your heart and give your spirit a boost and give you an appreciation for what God says. So prayer is such an important part of the believer's life. As your handout says, according to Acts 2:42, the young Christians, along with the older believers, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and then what? And in prayers. Now, here's what we're talking about here in Acts chapter 2. That's the start of the New Testament church. Not long after Acts 2, there's going to be 3,000 people added to the church. My friends, prayer is a source of power in our life. It is a source of communication between us and our God, us and our Savior. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through prayer, and He does it in conjunction with His Word. As we read His Word, He speaks to us, and then as we pray back to Him, as we visit with Him about what we've seen and read and been moved by in His Word, there is a special dynamic. I'm going to use that word two or three times today. Usually you only hear it a few times a month. But when I got into this lesson on prayer, I am convinced that there is a special dynamic. Now, what does that mean? Well, sometimes there's black and white answers about things and list of 1, 2, 3, 4, and sometimes that's the case. But sometimes things just work together in such a good way. And I like to think of that being a special dynamic that gives us power, a special dynamic that helps us be real and sincere in our faith. We talk about church attendance, and that's usually I feel like there's a special dynamic when God's people get together and lift their voices in praise to Him, and they submit themselves to the teaching of God's Word. There's a power there. There's a special dynamic that exists there that helps us all when we do that. And I think the same thing about prayer. So the New Testament church is starting to begin in the book of Acts, and it's starting to gain traction, and it's starting to grow. And prayer was a very, very important part of that. Now, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says this right here. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now, one thing we want to do as we talk about prayer is we want to pull a little phrase out of that verse, because this phrase is so very important when you're talking about prayer, us praying to God, Him giving us answers. There's a phrase in there. Extremely important phrase, according to His will. We can easily, because we're human, we can easily interject so many things into our prayers that have nothing to do with God's will for our life. We're all guilty of that. We want things, right? We want things to happen. We would ask in our prayer room this morning, we talked about people needing prayers that are in the hospital, like Karen Burnett and Brother Chris mentioned, and the family of Marianne Bowie that passed away. Well, those are things that are valid requests to God, but beyond all of that, there's a special dynamic when God's people find out what His will is in His Word, and then because you have found that out and because your heart is influenced by that, and you already know, because you've been in the Word of God, you know what He wants. You already know, you have the discretion of what He wants, that you pray in that fashion. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. As your handout says about the Christians in the New Testament, these Christians had developed from the very beginning of their new life in Christ some definite habits, including prayer. Through His Word, the Bible, God speaks to the Christian. In prayer, the Christian talks to God. Yet, in this busy, bustling world, both Bible study and prayer are neglected by so many. And you've probably seen that at different periods in your life. I certainly have. What is prayer? Well, letter A says the word pray means to ask. Very simple. To pray means to ask. And a scripture reference that shows us that is Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Very simple verse as well. It says, ask, and it shall be given you. It's an asking. Letter C, according to 1 John 5:14, prayer is asking for anything according to His will. So prayer is us asking for anything according to His will. And in letter D, prayer is asking for everything. Not just anything, but everything. Now, you may not be this way, but I have been at fault throughout my life for pre-qualifying what I'm going to ask God to do. You know, we're good at this. We think, oh, that's too small. God don't want to worry about that. Or that's too big. God can't handle it. That God can't do anything with that, so we don't pray about it. Or this little detail in the life of one of our family members or a neighbor or our life is too minute. God has no desire to work in that area. Well, we don't know. Do we? We don't know the mind of God outside of His Word. And that verse tells me that, but in everything by prayer, let your request be known unto God. So prayer is just an asking. It's us talking to God and asking Him. Why should I pray? Well, the Bible teaches us that prayer is both a command and a privilege. Number one under A says men ought always to pray. Always to pray. Now, we're going to get into this concept in just a few minutes, but this is very clear here in this section that prayer shouldn't just be a one-shot-a-day thing. It's an attitude. It's a thought. It's a pervasiveness in our thinking and something that encapsulizes us. I do a lot of praying driving, and I've had to adjust to that because I was raised, we always bowed our head to pray, and one time I tried that while I was driving and it didn't have very good results, you know, but you can be in an attitude of prayer. Luke 18:1 says, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. Then Colossians 4:2 says to continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray without ceasing or stopping. And then the verse that we read from Matthew 7, verse 7, which just is composed of three letters, A-S-K, ask. We're commanded to always pray. We're commanded to continue in our praying. And then we're commanded to pray without stopping, pray without ceasing. You get the idea, the hint that He wants us to pray? I think He does. He wants us to keep in an attitude of prayer with Him, but prayer is not only just a command, it's a privilege. Back to that word, special dynamic. There's a special dynamic, a special power, a special unction from God's Holy Spirit when we bring our concerns to Him. And when we do that, John 16:24 tells us that prayer brings fullness of joy. He says, hitherto have you asked nothing in My name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. There's an assurance when you and God have got along about some deal and you've sought His counsel in His Word and you've sought His counsel in your prayer life to Him. There's a special assurance there, isn't it? Now, He doesn't always answer our questions, does He? He doesn't always give us what we want. But there's an assurance there that He has got things under control. It's a privilege to pray. Another reason, and number two, it's a privilege because we're invited to come boldly to the throne of grace. We don't have to be little pansy-wansies coming up to Him, be scared to talk to Him. Great verse. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So it's a command, but it's also a privilege. Well, then how do we do it? The disciples asked the Lord Jesus in Luke 11, the Lord, teach us to pray. Let's look at some essentials in praying as listed in your handout. Letter A, what posture should I adopt when praying? Well, number one, you can stand. We may stand and pray. We do that sometimes in our congregation, don't we? Mark 11:25, Jesus said, and when you stand praying, forgive. And if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses, so we can stand. And then in 1 Kings 8, we find that we can kneel. It says, and it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. So we can stand, we can kneel. And then, number three, we can sit. That verse, Acts 16:13, says, on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Now, what were they doing? They were having a prayer meeting. They were sitting. And then the fourth one, we may fall on our face and pray. Matthew 26:39, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. That's what Jesus said. Now, from your study of these scriptures, what do you conclude about the posture when we pray? What's that? Louder. Anything you want. The posture's not important. What's important is the sincerity of our heart. And the sincerity may dictate what we do. We may feel led to get down on our... We may have a crisis so severe in our life that we do end up on our knees. We may find ourselves laying on the floor, prostrate before him. So what's important is that we do it and that our heart is sincere before him. Letter B says, to whom do I address my prayer? Well, number one, I pray to God the Father. Our Lord said, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. We pray to him, God the Father. The next thing is we pray in Jesus' name. In whose name do I pray? And what does that mean? Well, what it means is you pray by his authority. You pray to God by the authority of his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 16:24, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So we pray to God. We pray by the authority of Jesus or in Jesus' name. And we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And what that means is we come to him and we have an attitude of prayer that is already conditioned by his word. We're already influenced in our mind by what he has said in his word. We don't just dream things up. We don't just get fanciful notions and how we get sometimes about just things coming to our mind. No, we base our prayer life on God's word, and we pray to God through the authority of his Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we pray. So posture doesn't matter. The sincerity of our heart does. We address our prayers to God the Father in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then there are some things, some attitudes that we can take when we pray. Now, I've given you a lot of verses there in your handout. It says below are some key attitudes in praying. We don't have time to go through all those, but I'm going to read a verse or two off that you can jot down. Now, here's the thing. A lot of these verses satisfy more than just one thing. The first one is reverence, and the best example in that list that I could find was what Jesus did for his Father. He says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means sacred. He did it. He did his prayer with reverence. He's approaching his Father, and he conducted himself with such attitude and such reverence. That was Matthew 6:9. And the second one is boldness, which we talked about a moment ago. And the verse for that was Hebrews 4:16. The third one is faith. We need to go to God in faith. Jesus had that too when he said in Matthew 6:10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He had faith that God would do on earth what has already been done in heaven. He had faith. Another verse for faith is Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. So when I come to the Lord in prayer, I want to have a believing heart that places faith in his capabilities. Amen? I want to have a belief that he is able to do, actually perform what I'm asking him to do. Another one is thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And then the next one is an area that I could improve a lot in, and it's persistence. I'm real good about praying for something once or twice. And because it doesn't happen, what do? We quit. We quit. This one was a conviction to me. Luke 11:5 says, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. And he says in verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity. Now, we don't use that word, do we? It means persistence. The guy nags and begs. And that word importunity can mean there's a sense of urgency, an audacity, an earnestness, a boldness. He wouldn't quit. That's persistence. And so, my friends, one of the greatest ways I can improve my prayer life, and I'll just be honest with you, is being persistent. Is not letting it go because he didn't answer it in the second week or the third week. There was a lady that was a member here for a long, long time, and she was a prayer warrior. We miss her. She's been gone a long time now. Inside the leaf of her Bible was her prayer list. And she would, I had a surgery in 2009. This is as clear as I can remember, a hernia surgery. And I went over to say good morning to her, and she said, I want you to know I've been praying for you. And she got up and opened her Bible to her fly leaf and said, see, your name's right there. And that was important to her. She's persistent. She just didn't quit. Luke 18, there's another example of that. And then Romans 15:30. I want to read you this verse. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me and in your prayers to God for me. You know what? In the definition of that word strive in the Greek, there's a sense of, it would be like me and Albert working together for this, like a partnership. We're not just going to do it and quit. We're going to do it together, and we're going to work hard on this thing. Earnestly strive together with me in your prayers. That's a good example for us, to be persistent together as a church family. And then we need to have, number 6, a dependence upon him. It says in Luke 11:3, give us day by day our daily bread. Then an earnestness in our prayers. You think God is impressed when we, you know, we're busy and yet we want to check off our list of things to do and we want to get through our prayer in the morning and we just say it without feeling and without any kind of emotion? No, I think he's impressed when we have an earnestness about our prayers. Psalm 62 verse 8 says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. When's the last time we got on our knees and cried before him? When's the last time we were affected so greatly by something in our life that we poured out our heart to him? that verse in James 5:16, the last part of that verse, the effectual fervent prayer. Fervent means that there's emotions, that there's some feelings going on there. And I think in my prayer life, I'm so guilty of trying to get through the day that I do this thing and there's no feeling in it. There's no emotion in it. So it would behoove me to stop for a minute and get into the train of thought where there's earnestness in my prayers. There's some passion and emotion. And then number 8, confidence. When we pray, we need to have confidence that he'll do what he says. And there's several good verses there. 1 John 5:14 is the one we started with. And then number 9, openness. And that's kind of along the lines of pouring out your heart before the Lord, having an openness. Hey, listen, he already knows anyway, doesn't he? Sure he does. He knows what you're trying to say. And as we pray to God in the power of his Son, Jesus Christ, by the authority of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, he already knows where we're trying to go in our words. But he wants us to come to him with emotion, and he wants us to come to him with power. So as we pray, we just got to understand that there's a special dynamic that exists there. And if we never take advantage of that special dynamic, we're losing one of the most wonderful sources of power in our Christian life. Now your handout says, when should I pray? Well, letter A, I'm to pray without ceasing. We already saw that. That means to be in an attitude of prayer, ready to pray at all times. There's no time when we cannot pray. Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. Letter B says, I am to have definite set times of prayer. And I've given you some examples here. Daniel prayed 3 times daily. David, in number 2, prayed each morning. Jesus prayed in the morning. Matthew 1:35 says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. The apostles practiced set times of prayer. It is vital that you develop a pattern of regular prayer. Always begin the day of prayer. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Here we go. You ready? Here's another special dynamic. There's a special dynamic that exists in the life of the believer when he gives the Lord the first part of his day. Can't explain it, but I know it exists. When we take the time, when we open our eyes and we take the time for just a moment to sit down with him, before anybody has said anything, before you get on your schedule for the day, you take that time. There's a special dynamic for the child of God that exists when we take advantage of doing it in the morning. Otherwise, why would there be so many examples? The Bible is rife with examples of men and women who prayed the first thing of the day. Now, I realize, because I'm married to one of these people, I realize that some people are not morning people. So that may not be your thing. But the important thing is to have a definite set time where you make yourself, subject yourself to a time of prayer. For me, it's most beneficial when I do it in conjunction with a devotion. When I get into some, I am on a schedule, but there again, I have to watch myself. I'm so good at checking off lists. I'm a list person. My whole life is a list, and I hate that about me sometimes. So I have a thing, I have this list of things to do this day, and you know, the first one is devotion and prayer, and lo and behold, I woke up late, so I got to get this done, you know, done. No earnestness, no emotion, no passion, but I got it done. And what he tells us in his word is there's a special dynamic. There's a special power. There's a special line of communication from him. When we take the time, a definite set part of the day, and we come to him in prayer based on what we read in his word. Charles Spurgeon once said, and I didn't write the quote down, but he said that he was talking to some men in his church about their devotional time each day. And he said, men, you get into the Word of God and you read a passage, and if you don't understand it, set your Bible aside and get on your knees in prayer. And then, men, after your prayer, you get your Bible back open and go to that the same passage of Scripture, and you read that passage of Scripture, and if you don't understand it, set your Bible aside, get on your knees, and get in an attitude of prayer and seek understanding. So this went on in the story. And then he says, and men, then on the third time, when you get into your Bible and you don't understand what's being said, set it aside, get on your knees in prayer, and seek the Lord's help. His whole point was the persistence of it. And when you do that, when we do that, there's a special dynamic there. A lot of it has to do, I think, with our respect to what we've done. We've subjected our mind to the Word of God. You know, if we didn't do this here at Bible Baptist Church, if we just came in here and always just gave our opinions and had fun, you know, there'd be a lot of things we could do to have fun and all this. But what's important for the believer is to subject our minds to the things of the Word of God and engage ourselves in an attitude of prayer with him. That's what he desires. It would just break my heart if my four kids, and now my two grandkids, decided to live their life without talking to me. Wouldn't that just be terrible in your life as well? Don't you think the heart of our Father is also broken? He gave himself for us that we might live. He gave his life for us that we could spend eternity with him. And yet during these 40 or 50 or 70 years that we live, whatever it is, we go through so much of our days without talking to him. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this gentle reminder.